Good morning. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the first epistle of Peter. We'll read some verses from 1 Peter and maybe a few from 2 Peter. But First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved for you, reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept, guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you exult for a little time while at present, if needed, put to grief by various trials, that the proving of your faith, much more precious than gold which perishes, though it be proved by fire. Now that's the verse I want you to focus in on. Verse 7. That the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold, which perishes, though it be proved by fire. And he goes on to read, be found to praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love, on whom though not now looking but believing, you exult with joy unspeakable and filled with glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And now look at verses 18 and 19. Same chapter. Knowing that you have been redeemed not by corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, and this is the verse I want you to take note of, but by precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. And turn with me to chapter 2. Some of these verses were read this morning. I think we'll read from verses 1 to 7. Laying aside, therefore, all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire earnestly the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. To whom coming a living stone, cast away indeed is worthless by men, but with God chosen, precious. Yourselves also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Because it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe is the preciousness. And then if you'll turn with me just for a moment in 2 Peter, read the first four verses. Simon Peter, bondman and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have received like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us by glory and virtue, through which He has given to us the greatest and precious promises, that through these we may become partakers of the divine nature. Let's pray. Lord, we just believe your word is inspired, and we come to your word with a real sense of dependence, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open to us a real understanding of your word, that you would penetrate our circumstances and our thoughts and our mind and everything that might hinder us from hearing today something that's from you. That's all we want. Lord, we're not interested in hearing any man speak. We're only interested in hearing the Lord Jesus speak by His Holy Spirit. We ask you to quicken us in both speaking and hearing, that at the end of it we may say, the Lord has spoken and we are pleased. For we worship you in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, I've been drawn lately to this first epistle of Peter. And the burden that's on my heart today comes from this single word, precious. You may not think this is a very important word, but if you don't understand the word in context, you'll really miss something that's from the Holy Spirit. This word, precious, occurs more times in these two tiny letters than anywhere else in the whole of the New Testament. This word, precious, as a matter of fact, occurs in these tiny little books almost more than any other book in the Bible. Now, if you look at 1st and 2nd Chronicles combined, their word precious occurs maybe a couple more times. But if you understand the repetition there of precious stones, talking about the priest and in the tabernacle, and you begin to understand that word's repeated, precious stones, again and again. But the burden that's on my heart for us today comes from one of these instances where this word precious is used. And it's in fact the first instance, and that is in verse 7 of chapter 1. And the burden the Lord has laid on my heart is the precious proving of our faith. Now, if you're going to understand the importance of that single word, and the importance of that word in relation to this epistle of 1 Peter, there's one thing you need to come to an understanding of first, and that is the circumstances that these dear believers who received this letter found themselves in. They say this book has been an incredible book of encouragement down through the years for those who found themselves in difficult circumstances and difficult trials. Brothers and sisters, these ones that received this letter were going through horrendous difficulties. These ones that received this letter were going through unparalleled testing, incredible testing. It says they were scattered. It says they were dispersed. It says they received all kinds of various trials and difficulties. It even goes on to say that they went through extreme suffering. Think of that. These saints were going through terrific difficulties. You know, the word suffering is another one of those words. It occurs in 1 Peter more than any other book, this little book. Now, I hope maybe you'll catch this before I finish. At least I'll work on it and hope you do. But it occurs in this book, this little word suffering, more than any book in the New Testament except for Acts, and maybe Acts one more time. But that should give us some sense, some sensing of what the circumstances were that these believers found themselves in. That's very important. Because if you don't see the circumstances of these believers, you'll never appreciate this word precious. That's the point. It seems to me the whole message of 1 Peter is that in the trial, in the difficulty, in the fire, in the proving, in what they went through, they were able to discover a preciousness of the Lord that was really something quite unique. They were able to discover a preciousness of His provision that was extremely unique. They were able to discover a preciousness of His love, which was incredible. We're accustomed here in the West to ease, not pressure. And I hope you're not too depressed so far with the thought of this message. The point is this. We can discover something through pressure and through testing that we can discover no other way. Do you know that? Have you experienced that? Have you experienced what the psalmist David said in Psalm 4, verse 1, when he said, "In pressure, thou hast enlarged me"? Suppose God never put us to the test. Suppose He left us alone or left us with only prosperity. Do you think we would ever grow in Christ? You might be tempted to look at these ones that suffered such great hardship and think, boy, they're pitiful. What poor saints. But the record in this book is not their poverty, brothers and sisters. It's not their trials alone. It's the discovery that they discovered something that was incredibly precious in the pressure. That's the message in 1 Peter. Surely, it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, they were tried as of by fire. But in the middle of the fire, I believe they made a discovery that brought them to a greater place. Now, I hope you understand the parallel. Brothers and sisters, I think as we come to the end of the age, we might be like those in 1 Peter. You might find yourself in difficult circumstances. You might find yourself pressed beyond measure. Some of you already are. You might find yourself in circumstances that are overwhelming, that you see no way out. And yet, if by the grace of God, we can discover the preciousness of the Lord in the middle of those circumstances, if we can know what it means, the proving of our faith is much more precious than gold which perishes, then we've made a good discovery. I wonder if we aren't like ones that would like to always escape pressure. I read a story the other day. We think pressure's a terrible thing. I read a story about a fellow who found an emperor moth. And this emperor moth was in this cocoon, and he felt sorry for the poor old emperor moth, and he brought him home and he left him, and he saw this guy trying, I don't know if it was a guy really, but he saw this emperor moth squeezing and pressing and just trying to fight through this little tiny opening in the cocoon, and he was struggling and straining, and this man in his great wisdom said he would give him a hand. So he took some scissors. Follow this story. He took some scissors. He cut the cocoon open. And that poor moth just stumbled out, deformed. Little shriveled wings. Big fat body. Now, don't make any comments about a big fat body, but little shriveled wings. Unformed. That moth never flew. You see, it was God's design to come through the pressure. It was God's aim that this moth couldn't be formed otherwise. It was God's way that the struggle was necessary, that He would press through and go through and spend the hours it took to come through that constricted way And then by the grace of God and the great creative ability of God, the fluids were forced from that body into the wings. And that moth was formed in beauty and would come out and would soar. Do you understand? To me, that's what's going on in 1 Peter. Sometimes we think it would be right if we got out of pressure. Sometimes we think it would be good if we escaped our circumstances. But I believe the simple message in 1 Peter is those who go through and discover the preciousness of God in the middle of the circumstances, they soar like eagles. This seems to me to be the whole message behind that simple word, precious. You wouldn't think, with your Western mind, precious and difficulty and trial would be linked together, would you? You wouldn't think suffering and preciousness would be joined together, would you? But when you discover, just like that moth discovers, that in that great constricting pressure, somehow God creates a beautiful thing, and He's able to fly and soar. That was the message of comfort to the oppressed in 1 Peter. If you look at 1 Peter, you discover that God used this impetuous Apostle Peter. Not the one who was so impetuous he smote off Malchus' servant's ear in the garden, but the one that was so tender that when he was with the Lord at the sea, the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." Well, he gave a word to them, which is a very encouraging word. And brothers and sisters, I think that if we come to it and begin to understand it, that our pressures have meaning. Our difficulties have a purpose. Our trials are for an end. It isn't that we're to go through this life never being tested. Can you imagine if we were never tested? I know I spend my day designing materials that are tested materials. We have these enormous volumes, these things. Sometimes I don't think they're good for much other than a paperweight. But these four enormous volumes, big books, and it's from they're called ASTM for short, the American Society for Testing of Materials. You get that? I know that's important to you. The American Society of Testing of Materials. And in those books is detailed what every building material must go through, what the test must be. And not only what the test must be, but how long the test must be. And if these materials pass those tests, then you can use them in the building process. If they don't, they're no use. I hope you understand. Seems like to me that's what the Holy Spirit says in 1 Peter. You are going through a great test. Do you understand it? But do you also understand that that test is necessary to prove that I'm faithful? To prove that I can take you through? To prove that my grace is all sufficient. To prove to you that I am with you. This is the message in 1 Peter. May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters, to understand testing. Don't think of it as a bad thing. The next time you go through a difficulty, don't think of it as a curse. Maybe we ought to look at it as an opportunity to discover more of Christ. And if we do, a great discovery it will be. That's why the word precious is in this book of suffering. Well, what we'll look at is the precious proving of our faith. There is a reason for testing. There is a purpose for testing. There is an aim in testing. If we don't understand these things, we'll never understand what we go through in this earth. You always look at it as just suffering. You always look at circumstances when they're against you as wind in your face. It's an unreasonable circumstance, and you'll never understand the preciousness of the testing. It comes to mind to me that when you read these books carefully, you begin to understand that their circumstances were for a reason. Their circumstances had meaning. Their difficulties weren't just to be difficulties. How depressing that would be. Their difficulties were with purpose. So I think the first thing we understand when we come to the first epistle of Peter, when it comes to the proving of our faith, is that there's a great design behind the proving. And that if we discover the great design, we know the preciousness. It says in verse 7, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now think of that. I don't know about you, but when you read those words, does that appear to be a contradiction? It often to me appears to be a contradiction. Here these folks are in terrific straits. I don't know, maybe I didn't make it clear enough how difficult their straits were. But they were about to go into the most severe oppression and persecution of any believers before or since these believers. In those difficulties, they had this sensing that they exulted with joy. Can you imagine? That seems to me to be a contradiction. But when you read this word, there seems to me to be a message here. Those that know the preciousness know how to exult in the trials. Those that know the preciousness learn how to rejoice and go through. Now I wonder, as I meditated about that, I thought, Lord, is that true for me? Well, I don't know about you, but I often discover that I'm a whiner. Are you a spiritual whiner? Most of us are spiritual whiners. Touch me, oh boy. Trials? Lord, first thing, save, Lord, we perish like in the boat. Take it away, Lord, first thing. Not, Lord, do you have something here for me? Is this the press that's to bring out the oil? Is this the press that's to turn that rough old carbon into diamond? Is this the fire that's to transform this old refuse of ore into gold? Do we do that? I don't know. I've discovered in praying about this word how unlike me that is. But yet, it seems to me that when you read 1 Peter, you discover that these ones knew something of the value of their test. May the Lord help us. Oh, I don't know how clear this is, but may the Lord help us. It even says that you're in great heaviness We don't think of God's blessing with heaviness, do we? As a matter of fact, there's some that say this heaviness, God couldn't be with them. It says you're in great heaviness in one version. And yet, the Lord Himself was in the middle of those circumstances. That's what we need to see. May the Lord use all of our circumstances to prove our faith. Listen to this word. The proving of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. It's given me a new attitude. I said, Lord, don't let me escape. Don't let me pass from this difficulty without learning the lesson. If you do, there'll be no gain. If you do, there'll be no preciousness. If you let me escape only when I scream, how sorry I will be at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. To me, that seems to be the thing the Lord has pricked my heart with. Do you know that there's a reason for your testing? Do you know that's the reason you were left here? So that you would be refined in the refiner's fire and you would be brought into a glorious apprehending of how precious the Lord Jesus really is. Otherwise, when you were saved, He would have taken you right then. But in His wisdom, He left you here, and you may not think this way, and in His wisdom, He put you through things that you may not choose, you may not like, you may not even want to bring you into a greater place in the Lord Jesus. The proving of our faith is more precious. Now, it says in the Amplified Version, infinitely precious. Can you quantify infinite? I always hated when they gave us problems on infinite. Thought, how worthless to us. You know what I mean. Always take it to infinity. Oh, the math major, Frank, he loves that stuff. You know, he understands. Always take it. But can you define infinity? The proving of our faith is infinitely precious to God. And if we endure, and if we discover Christ in the middle of our circumstances, it will become infinitely precious to us. That's what the psalmist meant. In pressure, thou hast enlarged me. It seems it can be done in no other way, in no other fashion, but through some difficulty. The Christian life, dear saint, I don't know where this idea developed, that the Christian life is all of blessing. Thank God it's a blessed life. But unless there's some difficulty, you'll never come into the full inheritance. That to me seems to be the message. Now, there's a reason for our testing. All of it is to prove. It's to prove our faith. F.B. Meyer, in his book, Tried by Fire, which was a small little explanation of 1 Peter, said that our trials and our difficulties come from three sources. I'd like to add a fourth. He said they're brought on us by others. Can you imagine? I think we yell the most at the others. Human beings that are the source of our difficulties and trials. It's all right maybe if God does this. You know, He's God after all. I mean, how do you complain? But if you are used, well, that's a whole different matter. Strike first, ask questions later. Not only do they come by others, our own sins and mistakes. Do you know? I don't know if you can quantify it. I'm not sure. But I shouldn't say I would bet before you, would you? You might think less of me. But I would believe that a great deal of our difficulties come of our own making. Would you agree with that? I often quote the Pogo cartoon, "We have found the enemy and it is us." You'll discover most of your problems come from you. But somehow, God uses that to bring us to a greater place. And you'll understand that many of our trials come directly from God Himself. God Himself is at the heart of many things. He disciplines us as children. He uses many things to bring us into a larger place. And I think we ought to add, many temptations come from the enemy. But you know something, when you read this book, the enemy is not mentioned all that often. Listen to me very carefully. God can use the enemy to bring us to a greater place. Can you imagine that? Do you think when Judas came full, just maligned and angry and full of hatred to betray the Lord with that crowd that was full of hatred? You think for a chance God wasn't in that? He was inspired of the devil. It says in one of the books of the gospel that Satan entered into him. It was the enemy. Do you believe for a moment God didn't use that? What about Job? Think about Job. Often think about Job. I think, bear with me a second. Do you realize that it was God that brought up Job to Satan? I think that's so terrible. If I were Job, I would say, God, why did you have to mention me? But he did. Job appeared before God, it says in the first chapter of Job, and with the sons of God. And he was talking with God, and God said, what about my servant Job? I guess Job might have thought, Lord, I wish you hadn't said anything. But God can use the enemy. Do you remember Peter? Do you remember the story in the New Testament? It says, Simon, Simon, I think it's in Luke chapter 22, Satan has desired to sift you. Now I would think that the right thing to do, if I could counsel God with all of my wisdom, would say, you should have said no. God, just say no. Tell Satan, Peter is yours. Leave him alone. Amazing. Jesus didn't do that. He said, but Peter, I've prayed for you. Thanks a lot. You understand? God can use Satan to bring us to a larger place in Christ Jesus. Even his enemy. Oh, I think we need to see the reason for our testing. It's to prove us. It's to bring us to a larger place There seems to me when I read this book that God in His mercy allows many things in the life of the Christian that you would hope He would deliver you from. You get the point? That's a very humbling thing. Because my theology, maybe it's your theology, is, Lord, deliver me. And it seems to me that these dear ones, He didn't deliver right away. Because in the middle of the pressure, in the middle of the testing, there was a reason. He wanted to prove the preciousness of their faith. Brothers and sisters, may God bring us to that place that we can accept all that is of His hand graciously and say to the Lord, don't let me go. Don't listen to me whine. Don't give in to the cry. Keep me there. Keep me there till I discover the preciousness. I went to Stephen not that long ago with the other brothers on all that we've gone through these past few years and inquired, and those of you that know Stephen know he's a man of very few words. Sometimes some of us have too many words, present company included. I said, Brother Stephen, how can this be? What help can you give us? And he said this simple word, it has never left me. He said, this is a test. This is a test. And he said in his select words, our prayer should be that we will pass the test. Oh God, every day, that has been my prayer. Take us through this test. May it end up for the precious proving of our faith that is more precious than gold that perishes. Then it will be of value. It seems there's no other way. It seems God has to take us through to prove. I read a story the other day about roses that make the most sweet perfume are found in the Balkan Mountains. And they can only be picked at midnight. Do you understand? If you pick them during the day, they lose 40% of their fragrance. Testing is for a reason. Testing is for a reason. The second thing that seems to come to me and strike me in this verse 7 is that we discover who the refiner of the testing is. Brothers and sisters, aren't you glad that it's not me? I don't know about you. No offense. Please don't take offense. I'm glad it's not you. When David was asked and brought before God for his discipline, He didn't want to be put in the hands of man. He'd rather be put in the hands of the living God. Oh, thank God the refiner is none other than God Himself. Thank God, brothers and sisters, that the one who has the flame in His hand is none other than God Himself. What mercy that is. I think the second thing we need to see is that the refiner Himself is God. Oh, how beautiful that is. There is no more merciful refiner. He knows just when to turn the flame up. And just when you think you're about to be consumed, He knows just when to turn the flame down. If it were left up to me, I wouldn't know when to turn the flame up or when to turn the flame down. You would turn into a piece of charcoal. Thank God the flame is in His hand. How merciful. To me, that is the greatest of all comforts. That is a precious discovery. That the refiner is God Himself. Do you know that when Daniel went into the fire, you know the story. I always say, do you know? Do you? But you do know. You know the story when Daniel went into the fire. Don't shake your head. No, you know the story. You shared on it. And when he went into the fire, he discovered. What did he discover? The fourth man in the fire. The refiner was in the fire with him. Oh, what comfort that is. We're not alone in the fire. There's a fourth man in the fire. And it even goes on to say in that story that when they came out of that fire, their garments didn't even smell of smoke. That's good news. Oh, how that ought to encourage us. I wonder if David, had he not gone through the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23, would have ever made the discovery, "For thou art with me." That's a great discovery. That's a precious discovery. When we discover that in the middle of our difficulties, in the middle of our circumstances, He is there. Not only do we discover He is there, but we discover the flame is in His hand. And He's the one that's doing the proving. What a great discovery. What peace that gives our heart. I remember when I took testing of construction materials class, we used to break things. Now, ladies, I'm warning you, men like to break things. You may have already figured that out. We used to like to break things. Kelly, I'm warning you that before marriage, so you'll be prepared. But we'd go in this land, we'd get steel rods, and we'd put these things, these great jaws of this humongous testing machine, this huge dial that could put all of this force in. And we would pull those guys, and, ductile failure is a beautiful thing. We'd pull those steel rods, and they would begin to net them like an hourglass, and then all of a sudden they would break and fracture. We thought that was the neatest thing. We thought, boy, give me some more. Bring a little concrete, break it to fracture, dust flying everywhere. Oh, that was neat. He takes us to our limit. There's a limit. Even in the testing of materials, there's a limit state. He knows what our limit is. It says He will not, in 2 Corinthians 10:13 or 14, maybe it is, that He will not allow us to be tempted beyond which we can bear, but with the temptation provide an avenue of escape. He knows when to put the pressure on, and He knows when to take the pressure off. Left to me, you'd be a broken rod, but in the refiner's hand, He is very gentle with us. Do you get the point? To me, that's the greatest encouragement. Listen to this verse. Oh, what a loving refiner we have. Isaiah 43. If you want to turn to it, I'll just read you this verse. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. I think these are verses you know. But now saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. And listen to this. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. When you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, it won't even burn you. Why? Because He is the refiner. That's good news. Often we get the impression that God is cruel. How could He put me through? How could He do that? I don't know if any of you like these animal things that are on, but I don't know how many of you know what it's like for a giraffe to be born, since you're not a giraffe. But it's a cruel birth. You think, man, first thing that happens is out comes those little hoofs and that nose, and then that giraffe is ejected and falls 10 feet flat on its back. A hard way to be born. And that giraffe is sort of in shock, in a heap, and shakes off the residue of birth. And you would think that mother in her sweetness would bend down with a giraffe kiss and say, "You sweet little giraffe." But the mother takes one of its forelegs and knocks that giraffe over. Go figure. What possessed that mother giraffe to do such a thing? She does it again. And she does it again. And she does it again. That poor little, by this time, that poor little giraffe is saying, "Mom." She keeps doing it until that giraffe gets up. And is able to stay on her own. That's the proving of faith. Do you understand? Oh, that we would be able to know that God's mercies are sometimes seem to be cruel. But He's trying to do something. He's trying to strengthen, to prove our faith by what He allows. And just at the instant He'll do His work. To me, that's good news. Well, I hear clocks going off and all those aggravating things. Last point, just a few thoughts. What is the result of testing? You know that testing has an end. If you turn back to our text verse, it says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Brothers and sisters, it's good news that all testing has an end. You're not in this permanent crucible. All testing is measured by the hand of the merciful refiner. And all testing is for a purpose. And all testing has an end. Do you understand that? That's very important. Receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul. Thank God that all testing has an end. Brothers and sisters, this word salvation of the soul is little understood in current Christianity. We always think of salvation as being born again. This goes way beyond being born again. There's something that God does within us, deep within us, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to where in the end, the character of the Lord Jesus comes out through us. And that's what the refining process is. The salvation of the soul is a deep work. And as that refiner himself sits over the refining of that gold, waiting till all the dross is gone, and he looks into that gold, and he sees the reflection of his face, that is the salvation of the soul. The end is that he will see himself in you. That's the reason. That's the end. It even says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18, "For our momentary and light affliction works for us a surpassing measure of eternal glory." Notice that. Our momentary and light affliction. Unless you see the preciousness, you'll never think of it in that light. But it works for us a far surpassing measure of eternal glory. And notice this part of that verse. "While we look not at things that are seen, but we look at things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are for a time, but those that are not seen are eternal." Thank God. There's an end. And thank God the end is Christ. It says, it goes on, that the proving of our faith, turn back to our text verse. Verse 8, "In whom having not seen, you love." In whom having not seen, you love. On whom, though not now looking, but believing, you exult with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The end of our faith, the end of the testing of our faith, might have the most simple of all explanations, and that is to love Christ more. I often sing that song, although I can't sing. I sing the song. More love to Thee, O Christ. More love to Thee. If all that we go through, dear saints, can in the end produce more love to Christ, if in the end He can see in the reflection Himself all was of worth, and the proving of our faith is precious. That's the message here. The proving of our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Have you discovered that? The reason all we go through is not for destruction, but for proving, strengthening, equipping, and eternity. Have you seen in the middle of the proving the great refiner? The flame is in his hand. What a merciful refiner. Do you see the end? And does it all result in more love to Christ? This seems to be the message to me in 1 Peter. 14 of that hymn, How Firm a Foundation. I don't know if you've meditated much on those verses, but it says, I believe it's in verse 3 or 4, I don't know, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. Listen to that. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The precious proving of our faith is more precious than gold. Lord, we commit to you these few simple thoughts. How we do pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us your ways. Many here are probably going through things that many don't even know. But thank God that your mercy, that you're in our circumstances, that you use our trials, manifold trials, that you use difficulties, that you can even use the enemy to bring us to a larger place in Christ Jesus. Take these words that have been offered and somehow teach us to lean on Jesus like we never have before. And in the end, our prayers that you will see in us as a corporate testimony and in us, each one individually, the perfect reflection of your own face. Amen.